It's getting harder. I don't know if that's true or not, but some say it. Maybe it's because of saturation. There are so many different churches and so many different doctrines and so many different teachings that it's making more difficult to evangelize. Some say it's the fast pace of life. Everybody's so busy and folks just don't have time. Some say it's the worldliness, and some say it's the schemes of the devil. And I know that's one of them. And I think we can boil it down to a three-letter word called sin. That makes it more difficult to evangelize. Some folks just don't want to hear about Jesus. And then I want to focus this morning on a path that will take us to be better in evangelism. And some say it's ineffective methods that we use to evangelize. I took an unofficial poll, but I just want to present, especially to those as members of this church, our numbers for this year, 2019. 2019 to date, we've baptized 36 members have been baptized. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord.
Amen.
22 individuals have placed membership here at the Fifth Ward Church.
Amen.
And I don't put these numbers up here to brag at all, because it's only through God's grace,
Amen.
His mercy, tender ears of people and individuals reaching out to others that individuals are being baptized.
Amen.
But I do want to put this in perspective and want to challenge the church, because We're not here forever, and we won't be on this earth forever, and we have a home we're trying to get to. And we need to prioritize eternal life, not life on this earth. But it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary because I've took an unofficial poll, and I go to ministers' meetings and talking to a lot more ministers now, more so than I ever have before. And it's difficult getting other churches' numbers. And that's not the reason I was trying to do it. I just want to know what's going on. Are we baptizing people? Are we not baptizing? And most of the brothers don't want to give their numbers.
Right.
And some of it is because they're embarrassed to give their numbers.
True.
And that's just the truth. And I say that because, as far as I know, now I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, I know of no other church in Houston, Texas that have baptized 36 individuals, white, black, or brown in Houston that have baptized that many people. And that's not anything to brag on. You know, we set a goal this year to try to baptize at least 100 souls this year. And we knew that it was a lofty goal. It's a noble goal. We knew we're not on pace to do that. We don't want to get discouraged, but we want to set a goal because we want to stretch. We want to reach for God because God is worthy.
Amen.
But I would take it even a step further. I don't know of a congregation, maybe one congregation in the United States that's baptizing of churches of Christ that has added this amount of people to their congregation in this year. I don't know. There may be another one. There may be some, but I don't know of them. And I don't say that for us to rest on our laurels or to pat ourselves on the back, because you know we could do better. And we need to be doing better. At our leadership meetings, at our elders meetings, we talk about, we're always trying to figure out ways that we can be more effective leaders, more effective in communicating to the church, that we're trying to save souls.
Amen.
And keep souls saved. Amen.
Amen.
And I was reading as preparing for this lesson, and came across some information. And Steve Childers, you may or may not know him. He's a theological professor at the Reformed Theological School. He's written several books and articles, and even curriculum, and trained thousands of church leaders of literally other denominations. Church of Christ is not a denomination, but Church of Christ leaders. He's taught classes over 50 countries, 7 languages, and even classes on church planning and church renewal and evangelism. And I was reading an article that somebody wrote about him and asked him the question, what's the key to evangelism in the 21st century? And he made a surprising statement. And so after he made the statement, I had to do some research to see if I kind of agreed to him. Because, see, one of the handicaps, one of the problems we have, especially with a church our size, is that we have a number of generations in the church. We have the builders. That means that the builders are those who are older than 75 plus. You have the busters that's right below that. You have the baby boomers. I'm in that group from 45 to 60, 65 or 64 thereabout. Then you have the millennials. The millennials are actually below that. The millennials age, that it's the largest generation. And then talk about a generation X, generation Y that's below that in the church. We have all these generations, and we seem like we have a generation gap. And it causes friction in the church, because sometimes we don't know how to communicate with each other. And if we don't learn how to talk each other's languages or learn how to appease to each other sometimes, then we become ineffective. And sometimes some things we make important. For instance, if you are I'm a boomer. If you are a builder, you know, if you're a builder, pretty much you're going to wear a suit and tie to church. Most builders will wear it. Nothing wrong with that at all. To be dignified and holy, and we come into worship. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're a millennial, you could care less about a suit and tie most of the time.
Amen.
Most of the time. And that's just, you know, it's not that. It's just, you know, your culture, our culture. Amen.
Amen.
And a millennial can love God, a builder can love God. But we in the Lord's church together. And we don't want to compromise in the doctrine of Christ. But we also don't want to make our preferences doctrine. Amen? And even when we're communicating with people. You know, my two son-in-laws, they are millennials. They are in the late 20s, and they are millennials. And they didn't grow up in the church like I grew up in the church, and like my daughters grew up in the church. They didn't grow up in the church. And so if I said to one of them, look here, you're going to have to wear a suit when you come to church. I'm sorry. Guess what would happen? We wouldn't see them anymore. Amen. That's just the truth. And so I don't want to make a rule that they have to wear a suit to come to church if I want them to stay in the church. Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes we forget that when we communicate and talk. Now, these brothers down here, when we're working around the table, we ask them to wear a suit and a tie. But, oh, don't make that gospel church.
Amen.
Yeah, that's our preference, and that's our standard. But don't make it gospel that they have to wear a suit and a tie all the time.
Amen.
You know why some churches are dying across the country? Is because there's no flexibility. There's no tolerance for each other. And you got a church that's made up of builders that are one segment. And some churches nowadays are made up of these generations Y, generation Y, and anything goes.
That's right. That's like it is.
But we God's people, amen. And you know, and this is not even in my lesson. I'm just, this is not in my lesson, but I'm thinking of Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 9, he gave the women a general principle on how to dress. And he says, let the women wear modest apparel and discreet apparel. You probably remember, if you've been at this church a long time, you probably remember when it used to come down that women were not supposed to wear pants to church. Amen. Yeah, I know you probably remember that. I grew up here, so I remember that.
That's right.
Women don't wear pants at church.
That's right.
But you do know that's not gospel, right?
Right.
Because there are some immodest pants, just like there are some immodest dresses. Amen.
Amen.
And we know the word of God. Let's just teach the word of God and learn how to love and get along with one another. Yeah, and so some of the things we have to remember who we communicate with, why we communicate. And then after all, some of us that think we so holy, Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 15. He says, Let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. See, sometimes we have to, we know what's right. We know what the Bible teaches. What stop harping on somebody that's weak and don't know any better.
Right.
And sometimes the strong have to bear the infirmities of the weak. That wasn't in my lesson, but I just thought I would drop that. Yeah, and so, but listen, when they ask him, what's the key to 21st century evangelism? He said hospitality. He said hospitality. That's why I put this picture up here with these people eating around this table. He said hospitality, and it kind of struck me, right? Because I thought he would have said, you know, social media, you know, using technology in a way that we can better evangelize to be able to mass community. But he said hospitality, and I thought about it for a second, and I started looking up a few. One guy wrote this statement. He says hospitality, inviting people to dinner. He said in our progressively post-Christian society, the importance of hospitality is as an evangelistic asset is growing rapidly. Increasingly, the most strategic turf on which to engage unbelievers with the good news of Jesus Christ may be the turf of our own homes. Wow. That's what he said. Then I thought about it. I said, you think about hospitality. This is the definition of hospitality. This is the Bible definition of hospitality. It comes from a Greek word, philoxenia. It's a compound word. A compound of love and stranger. Hospitality has its origin literally with the love of outsiders. And see, a stranger is anybody, a stranger is any guest that would come among us, someone that we don't know that well, and that's where it goes on to say this. Hospitality is the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers in a warm and generous way. The Holman Bible puts it this way: to entertain or receive a stranger into one's home as an honored guest and to provide the guest with food, shelter, and protection. And then if you look at the scriptures that talk about hospitality, look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Hebrews 13, 1. Let love of the brethren continue. Now listen, let love of the brethren, that's us brothers and sisters, continue. But do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing. So yes, we love the brothers, we love the brotherhood, but make sure we don't forget the outsiders.
Amen.
Don't neglect to love strangers as well. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 47, Brother Milton read in your hearing, if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? That's what the world does amongst their own, greet their own. Gangbangers do that. But we are Christians, we are children of God. Showing love to outsiders really bears the fingerprint of God, because that's how God deals with us. So let's research it a little bit more. Listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, 12, rejoicing in hope. This is written to Christians. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Did you not know that one of the qualifications of an elder, of a shepherd in the church, is hospitality? Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. If an elder is not equipped to making guests feel the way, he don't need to be an elder. He says the same thing in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7. And so in the Lord's church, the elders and the ministers, the leaders, set the tone for how members are going to treat each other, or how members will reach out and engage the outside. Now, we're talking about 21st century evangelism. With all the information, all the technology, we're talking about hard-nosed, one-on-one, being able to put yourself in a situation where you're going to lead somebody to Christ. Can I ask a more even personal question to you? Don't answer it. Don't feel bad. Not a guilt trip on it. If you're a member of the body of Christ, have you led anybody to Christ in the last year, in the last 2 years, in the last 5 years, in the last 10 years? Answer the question for yourself. And then ask another question. If you have not, why have you not? Now, I'm not saying necessarily sitting down teaching a Bible class. I'm talking about bringing somebody. Amen. Bringing somebody to a situation where they're going to hear the gospel. Whether it's at church, whether it's at a fellowship, whether it's at a Thursday night Bible class. Just ask yourself why. It's difficult. You know why? One of the reasons why, you know, can you put up some of the pictures of our baptized members? Did we do that? I didn't do that earlier. I want you to see some of these. Now, I wish I couldn't get all the pictures, so I just got some. These are some individuals that's been baptized here at the Fieldwood Church of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you don't know who is that. We don't know who they are.
Amen.
Individuals who place membership here at the Fieldwood Church of Christ. This is our family. Amen. This is our family. Some of you played a part in these individuals being baptized. Praise the Lord. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking, how many people have I led to Christ? But you know, as you get older, if you're a Christian and you stay in the church a while, our circle gets smaller. Because, you know, our habits change. So, you know, in other words, when you see, you know who actually are responsible for baptizing more members than anybody else? Many of them are new converts. Because they're excited about what they heard. They tell their family. They tell their friends. And their circle is still big. Those of you who've been in the church for 20 years, all your friends mainly Christians. Amen. And some of us, all we do, we come to church on Sunday. We come to church on Wednesday. We get in that car and we go home and we stay there all the week. And I know I'm exaggerating, but our friend, see, when you're in high school, when you're out in college, you're around more people and you have more opportunities for influence. That's one of the reasons we wanted to point this out, because if we're going to be hospitable, we're going to have to be hospitable.
Amen.
Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another, because love covers up multitude of sins. Ain't that the truth?
Amen.
That is the truth. Love will cover it up.
Amen.
He says, be fervent in your love for one another. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. That's what the Bible says.
Bible is right.
Remember what the word means. And you know it's so important, because I can preach a sermon. I can preach the best sermon in the world, but somebody can mess it up sitting right in the pew before we get it out. Get out of here.
That's right.
Amen. You turn our nose up or something, say something smart, act snooty if you want to, and the person will forget everything that they heard.
Bible, you're right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And this lesson, it's for us, and it's for me, and I'm just trying to think. It's really for us, and I want to get even more practical, because I want to show us what hospitality really looks like. Sometimes we need help with this one, because we are skeptical. This world has made us so skeptic of people. You know, you can't trust nobody. What is going on? Folks shooting up everybody. You know what? More people need Jesus. That's what they need.
Amen.
And people that's messed up in the head, we need to find a place for them somewhere.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. But what does hospitality look like? Everybody's all right? You do know I'm not fussing, right?
Right.
I'm just talking amongst the saints, trying to get better. Amen?
Amen.
What does hospitality look like? You remember, some of you that's members here, you remember a few months ago, my classmates, many of my classmates from a high school, it's my 40th class reunion, and many of them came. They sit right in this section. I think they came to the 11:15 service. It was about 30 or 40 of them. Well, how that happened was one of our classmates is a member here, faithful member here, and she asked me last year, I can't remember when it was, Gary, would you speak at the class reunion? I said, of course. I would love to speak. I'll be honored to speak. And then she said, also, can Fifth Ward be the church that I, because she's on the committee. And so, see, and this is talking to us. We're talking about 21st century evangelism. She says, can Fifth Ward be the church that everybody comes to after the reunion? I said, of course. And I said it so fast because I want you to know, we normally always communicate to the elders when things are going on. But elders give me some leeway. But I said it so fast that I knew what they were going to say. And then I went, I said, listen, our class wants to come here. And they said, oh, bro, good, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. And I wanted to make them feel welcome. And so they came. And many of them first time coming in here, probably most of them first time coming here, they came. And you treated my classmates so nice. Thank you for shaking their hands. How you doing? And not bringing up this camaraderie stuff. You know, I'm from Booker T. Washington. About to ask you about Booker T. Washington. Although Booker T. is a good school. Good school. Amen. But they came. And since that time, that's been, I can't remember exactly when it was. Since that time, many of them have been back. One of my classmates sit right where Sister Mia is sitting, was sitting right there this morning. I was in a Bible class study with him 3 weeks ago. He's contemplating being a member of this church. Some of their children have been in our summer enrichment program. They follow us on social media. They email, bro, I saw you. Well, you laid the hammer down. Because one person let their light shine. Amen. And see, the influences that you talking about hospitality, and when they came here, you treated them well. We fed them after. They still talking about it. Look, oh, the next reunion, we going to Fieldwater. I'm like, next reunion, we're going to be dead in 50. But we showed them some hospitality.
Amen.
Amen. Our campus ministry, we have a number of college students. Last week, we invited our college students to come and have a meal with us after worship service. We have the Tigers for Christ at Texas Southern is starting this year. We have University of Houston. We are seasoned saints, and others go. We go twice a year to the University of Houston. I'm telling you, some of you, our members that don't know some of these things that go on, we go there twice. We feed them about 200, 250 students. And we do it on I can't remember exactly what day, but it'll be in the calendar. We go that we feed them. We have a short devotional. I don't know if Brother Arnold is here this morning. He was here last week. Brother Arnold, you in here? Hey, Brother Arnold, stand up for a second. Brother Arnold was a University of Houston student.
Amen.
And the first time we met him was at that dinner. Amen. Guess what Brother Arnold is? Brother Arnold is a faithful member of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ.
Amen.
Right now. Thank you, Brother Arnold. And we're talking about, you know, 21st century evangelism, it takes a personal. It's a personal touch you gotta have. People want to know that you really are genuine, that we really care about what we really believe, what we are preaching, what we're teaching, but more than that, we're living it. I talked about Prayer View this year. A number of our students are going to Prayer View, and there's a church that's close to the campus, and we need to figure out a way that we can make sure our kids are being ministered to there at Prayer View. So somebody may be thinking about something like that, and it's not all just about school. It's not all just about taking them to church on Sundays. It may just be meeting the need and making sure that they are okay. They are okay. Mark your calendars for November the 22nd. We will be distributing turkeys to our community here in Fifth Ward. We've done it. Last year we did a dinner. This year we're going to do the turkeys. We're going to distribute on November the 22nd here at our community. Now, don't get negative and don't start getting so hot. Some people say, well, we'll get all them people. Oh, they just come in here for the turkeys. Right. That's right. That's why we're giving the turkeys out.
Amen.
I mean, you know, some of us, we want to have a crystal ball and say, which one going to obey the gospel? You don't know who's going to obey the gospel. One of the things, God put us in this world to be a light for him. And we're going to let our light shine. That we let them shine by doing good works. Just give God the glory. God will do the rest.
Amen.
You stop being judge and jury about who going to obey the gospel. We plant the seed and God will give the increase.
Amen.
Yes, and so that's an outreach. That's hospitality. That's making people feel welcome when your mailman come to your house, especially if the same mailman or mail lady, treat them kind.
Amen.
As Christians, treat them kind. Learn their names. It's hot this summer. Give your male man a drink of water, male woman a drink of water. I came here this past, I think it was past Friday. I came to the church building and the male lady, our male lady was in the workroom. And I heard somebody in there talking. I didn't know it was the male lady. I heard Levi's voice in there talking to her. I said, oh, Levi done got somebody hemmed up back in here. And then the lady came out. She said, ooh, thank y'all for letting me take a rest. Out the sun, because she was hot. She had a hat on. She had a hot. And you know we invited her to worship service. And she is much more likely to come to worship because somebody treated her with hospitality. Yeah, yeah. So when your mailman come, when your UPS man come to the house, UPS lady or your FedEx lady or your FedEx man, make them know who you are. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to feed them a full meal. Give them a drink of water, Coca-Cola, something in the house. And call them by name and say, thank you for delivering my... But when your repairman come to your house to fix your plumbing or fix your water heater, don't just, hurry up and get through so you can get out of my house. You're missing an opportunity. You're missing an opportunity to evangelize, to share the love of Christ with someone. Our brother Hart, who was at our first service, Willard Hart, he told me that a man came to repair something at his house. I can't remember what. This is not that long ago. You know, Brother Hart had talked to anybody about Jesus in the church. Amen. And he started telling him, he asked the man, what church you go to? And the man told him what church. He said, well, I go to the Fieldwater Church. Oh, he said, right off the free, after 10 times. He said, we have Bible. We have church service. And we gave him one of our call, and the man was at church the next Sunday. He introduced him to me while he just met him just that day. He was his repairman. Your yard man. Invite your yard man. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we're talking about practical 21st century evangelism, treating visitors with love and kindness, respect. We decorated a visitor's reception room across the street because we wanted to make it better for our visitors to be identified, to shake one of our elders' hands. I'll go over there and try to shake the hands before they leave. We give them a packet. We want to make them feel welcome. And yes, it costs something to decorate it, but one soul is worth it.
Amen.
Yeah. And then when they come, when our visitors come here, let's don't run nobody off. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know how it is. You know when you bring somebody, like you, when you bring a visitor, you really are conscious where you're going. You conscious of, you steer away from folk who you know ain't going to speak. And even when they speak, they're going to look like a sour lemon.
Help us.
And I know sometimes we have things on our mind, but when you bring a visitor, you are really conscious. I remember when I brought... she wasn't my wife then, but I brought KB to church, and I'm thinking, I don't even know if she was my fiance. No, she wasn't. But I'm like, I was conscious of the way people were going to treat her.
Amen.
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 And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Listen, this on last Sunday night, right, we had our ice cream fellowship right after worship service, Sunday evening worship service, because we're trying to our members to know each other, and it's hard to do it in here, and we had ice cream fellowship. And I remember meeting Ivan. I remember his name was Ivan, and I remember Ariel. I don't know if Ariel or Ivan are even in here right now, but I remember meeting Ivan, and he was talking, and Ariel was talking. Said, "This is my friend. This is, I don't know." She said, "Her boyfriend, her fiance. I can't remember. I don't want to put nothing on it. Ain't there? But I do know this. He was baptized this past Wednesday night."
Amen.
Now, he wouldn't have got baptized, I promise you, had somebody been snooty, had somebody not been communicating, had we been mean to him. Amen. And so don't count it light, this hospitality that God is telling all of us to have one toward another. One of the most effective ministries I believe that we have here at the Fieldwater Church is our funeral ministry. We have baptized so many individuals who, as a result of coming to, when they come to a funeral, we're going to preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
And I think all our members need to know that now. When somebody, you have a funeral here, if I'm preaching, Brother Ray's preaching, whoever's preaching the funeral, they're going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're going to hear what they're going to know what they must do in order to be saved. They might not do it right then, but they're going to hear it there. And then what the beautiful thing is, after most of the time, if they're a member, and if they're not, it's not a memorial, or that we'll have a repass across the street. And we have individuals who stay, who work, they come here early, they stay late, and they work, and they make this food, and families talk and say, man, y'all are so inviting, so hospitable. And individuals end up coming back to the Lord's church. Individuals end up getting baptized into the Lord's church. And that is a practical ministry. It's a way that some of us can be involved also. Helping somebody when they're in distress. We got a great example of that of the Good Samaritan. Brothers, if you're healthy and you can, don't pass by everybody that have a flat.
Amen.
And they call. Now, if they're on the freeway, get off the freeway so you don't get ran over. But when you see somebody that's in distress, that's a great opportunity to them. I watched a video just this past week. I don't know where I saw it. I think I saw it on. I know it's online. Watched a video of a man helping a young man who had a flat. And the man didn't have a jack. He didn't have nothing. And the guy was, he asked the guy for some help. He says, do you have a jack? If jack or flat? He says, no, I don't have a jack. He said, okay. He said, I'm gonna have to go help get a jack. And the guy said, what are you going to do? The guy left, went, bought a jack, came back, helped the young man, changed his tie, and gave him the jack. Amen.
Amen.
Now. And see, I say that not just for the sake of helping somebody, but don't miss the opportunity to let them know why you are doing this. You know what? God has been good to me. God has been good to me. I need to be good to somebody else. You know, hey, listen, are you from Houston? Are you down the road? Won't you come visit me at the... See, it's not that you obligate a person, but it's a great opportunity to invite them to come and listen and know what you know. So don't miss some opportunities. Somebody breaks down to helping somebody in distress. Using your influence.
Amen.
Yeah, using your influence. Some of us, we have influence. You know, when you have your family reunion and you own the committee and you work the committee and you trying to and you own the committee and you have all those fun things you do, and you have the influence to say, listen, let's go to church at my church. Amen, somebody. Otherwise, any other time, you couldn't get them to come.
That's right.
But reunion time, you can get them to come to the family reunion, and we're going to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ.
Amen.
Get them to come. If you're a coach of a team, if you're a coach of a little league team, a volleyball team, a basketball team, a baseball team, and you are the coach, use your influence for God. Invite the kids, the parents. It may not necessarily be Sunday morning service. It may be to other Houston food bank. By all the team, my whole team, all the team. Look, we're going to work at the food bank. And they're going to know what Christianity is all about.
Amen.
If you in a position of influence. We're talking about 21st century. If you own a business, it's your business. You write the checks. Now, I'm not saying to hold your check back when somebody don't come to church with you. But I'm the business owner. I'm the business owner. Can I pray at my own business?
Amen.
Amen, somebody. It's my business, and we came. Kevin and I used to own a balloon store, balloons for all, et cetera. We had about 5 employees, and every morning in that balloon store, guess what we were going to do? Yeah. Whether they wanted to. Why? And I'm not saying to do anything dogmatically, but no opportunities when they come. Just that, and I know last week the AKAs were here, and some were a little uneasy because maybe and please forgive us if we rub somebody wrong with the AKAs. It wasn't about that. Let me tell you how that happened. One of our sisters, who's active in the sorority, who's a faithful member here, she called and said, hey, listen, the AKAs have this day of prayer and the Bulgaria. I was proud of her. I was happy. She said, and I want to put Fifth Ward Church of Christ on the list for the AKAs to be able to come to Fifth Ward. I said, hold on, let me check. I went check with one of the elders that were there. Said, listen, we both said the same. Man, it's a great opportunity. So the announcement that you saw in the bulletin last week It was the same announcement that they sent out to communicate it to all the AKAs in Houston. And I'm like, this going out to all the AKAs in Houston. And not all of them came, but a good group came. To God be the glory.
Amen.
It's not, we weren't out trying to play favorites, and we know sometime, but can I say this also? If you are Delta, if you are Sigma, I don't know them all now. Help me, somebody. If you are Alpha, if you are Q Dog, I know that's my brother was a Q Dog. Shouldn't I say dog? Okay, a Q. If you was a Q, if you were a Zeta, Phi Beta, all of them are welcome, aren't we?
Amen.
In the Lord's house.
Amen.
Now we need to know how we need to be careful on how we behaving. About you can't come here selling your paraphernalia and recruiting some of our people. We're not gonna let you get up and say nothing, but we certainly gonna welcome you, amen.
Amen.
So please help us. If you are in a position of influence, you call us and ask us and see won't it happen. We can because I sit next to a few of the ladies and they enjoy worship service. They promised that they were going to come back and maybe we'll get some fruit from the AKAs being
here.
Amen. I asked the elders. We had a meeting. I asked the elders, if we get somebody from the president's office called and say Donald Trump wants to come and worship at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, will we let him come? And church, what do you think they see? You didn't say that very enthusiastically. Listen, if Donald Trump wants to come worship here,
amen,
church, if you're uncomfortable with it, then maybe you don't need to come that Sunday. Because we're going to let him come.
Amen.
Now, he's not going to get up here and preach. Matter of fact, he's not going to say nothing. But is he welcome, church?
Amen.
Does he have a soul?
Amen.
You know, he needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I'll take it a step further. And I need to sit down. I'll take it a step further. If the Grand Master of the Ku Klux Klan call the elder and say, we were looking on the internet, we see some churches, and we wanted to bring our crew to worship at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. You don't want them sitting next to you, do you? I see some of you, I don't know about that one, okay? Listen, they welcome to come here.
Amen.
Do I have a church that will welcome the Ku Klux Klan?
Amen.
I hope we do. If some of y'all not saying that, I better move on. Let me tell you something. They all right in here. Listen, we can handle them in here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
No, he's not gonna say anything. They not gonna come in there with the white hoods and the they don't wear that anymore anyway, church. They don't have those on. They have suits and ties, they look just like us now.
Right.
But they are welcome to come in here because they're gonna hear the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're gonna treat them with kindness. And look, you know, did Jesus say, love your enemies, do good to them? We're trying to teach them. We're trying to help them. We're trying to save.
Amen.
We're trying to save souls. And if the church is going to be the church that God wants, if it's going to be an evangelism, we're going to have to, our stuck-upness, our tightness, our judgmental thinking, our wanting to protect our territory, we don't have a territory.
Amen.
Last. We personally need to use our abodes.
Amen.
Our dwelling places. Our houses. Our apartments. Our condominiums.
Amen.
That's where we spend most of our time.
Amen.
Make them our ministries. Make them places that invite individuals. They feel the warmth of Christianity. They feel the love of God. Start with our own families, our own kids, our own grandkids. Reach out to those that we don't know as well. When opportunity presents itself, let's use them as children of God. It doesn't have to be publicized. It don't have to be in the bulletin. You can do it right in your neighborhood. And we will start being even more evangelistic. We will start getting calls in the middle of the, Brother Gary, I'm here with my neighbor and they got some Bible questions. Brother Brown, Brother McElroy, can you answer this Bible question for some? Brother, I want to come over to church. I'm coming over. I got somebody that want to be baptized. We don't just baptize on Sundays. Raise your hand in here. Raise your hand in here if you were not baptized on a Sunday. Raise your hand. Look around. Look around here. Individuals, any day of the week, we're baptized 24/7. That's what the church in the first century church was on fire, and they were teaching the word every single day, daily from house to house, and they were being added to the Lord's church.
Amen.
In the 21st century, we're gonna have to be more hospitable to people.
Amen.
Yeah, I know this. We got to be careful, but we got to open our mouths and talk
Amen.
To folk and be kind to folk and treat each other the way we want to be treated. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, why don't you come and be a member of his family? You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, and you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll be added to his family. And if we're faithful unto death, he'll give us a crown of righteousness that we have forever. If you're here and you have a prayer request, you can come. If you're here and you want us to pray for you, if you want to get something right, we'll pray for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?